Okay, I'm going to play some music and set up for the Zappa program. What Zappa song would you like to hear, Carol? What could we play? Well,
Illinois Enema Bandit?
Yes, but what's his name? Jim Bob requested an early Zappa. So I'd have to go over to our iTunes and find something that they could dig. Let's see. And then broadcast it through our system here.
Changa's Revenge.
No, we've done that. We're supposed to go to the first three albums. He requested something from the first three albums. So I must find them. Cruising, Freak Out, there's Freak Out. So we'll begin with Who Are the Brain Police? That could be a good one. Okay, that's one that Frank, even when we interviewed him in 1988, he hadn't come to an answer yet. He said he hadn't really made a decision on that point. So we bring up Soundflower. We bring up the volume. We make sure we're not on that. And mute everybody. Mute. Web control.
All participants are now muted.
question, Ava. Can I ask you this? Where did McLuhan come from intellectually? He said, I think, that he was at heart a 19th century man. Was he a classical scholar? What was his early academic background?
Well, I can only tell you, of course, secondhand, because I wasn't there. But on the other hand, we shared, as I say, so much together, and I owe so much to him in this context that I can, and as being a 19th century man myself, I share this with him. I think I would say that Marshall, while he is a 19th century man, necessarily all of us who were brought up in that time were, the thing that he liked to think about himself as was as a medieval man. That is, a man who was not seeking logical maturity, which is the ideal of the academic establishment and the computernik, who can do better than ever what need never be done at all. He wasn't seeking to dispose of the or get rid of the paradoxes of existence, but to savor them with human maturity. That is, human maturity, he felt, had been wiped out by science. That art always preceded science. That percepts, the direct human encounter with existence itself, always preceded concepts and models, which were packages, if you like, of percepts put together as convenient software tools, which were then imposed upon existence by people who used them. Now, Marshall was constantly trying to perceive the world in its own terms, by using the concepts, by using his 19th century background, if you like, to probe existence and at the same time retrieving this human maturity which came from such people as the pre-Socratic Greeks, Heraclitus, if you like, as an example. It came from the rhetoricians, largely. He was interested in rhetoric because it always started with the audience. And if you will notice that his work in Cambridge started with Leavis, who concentrated on the effects of books on audiences. Marshall devoted his life to studying the human effects of technical media, that is, the extensions of man. Everything that we invented, as he learned from Harold Innes, was a communication medium.
Perhaps we should talk more about Innes. We have a quote here of McLuhan talking about Innes's influence on his career. Let's listen to it, and then we could perhaps go on to talk about some other people who shaped McLuhan's development.
Certainly.
I certainly consider myself a follower of Harold Innes, although I have hardly the right to claim that distinction, since I didn't work with him or as a student of his over the years he was alive. I came as one out of due time. Mechanical Brain came out in 1951. I heard that Innes had put my book, fair new book then, on his reading list for his students. And I at once said, well, if he is prepared to do that, it's time I read something of Harold Innes. And at that time, I had not read one page of Harold Innes. I was absolutely won over at once. I think he had discovered an absolutely indispensable method of study. But I think that the ordinary academic is still in that 19th century pattern of the point of view, the hypothesis, checking the hypothesis against outside evidence, instead of studying the process from the inside.
Dr. Culkin, could you tell us how original a thinker was McLuhan, or were there other people you might like to mention whose thought McLuhan synthesized and re-examined and re-put forth?
Well, Marshall was always generous in acknowledging his colleagues and those to whom he was intellectually indebted, as we just heard with the Innes interview. Certainly at the time when Explorations magazine was the printed probe into this new culture, he was working closely with Dr. Edmund Carpenter, the anthropologist, with Dorothy Lee, and with a number of other people. Of course, he always acknowledged his debt to James Joyce and the poets. But it's an organic thing. One cannot snip out passages from any of these people or from any of the books that Marshall was influenced by and paste them together and create McLuhan. He was an original. He synthesized and moved forward in ways that is not directly traceable to his antecedents. And I think that this is his uniqueness. I don't really believe we read him for the first time yet. I think...
can't happen here. It can't happen here. I'm telling you, my dear, that it can happen here. Because I've been checking it out, baby. I checked it out a couple of times. Oh, darling, it's important that you believe me, bop, 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 that it can't happen here. Who could imagine that there was freak out somewhere in Kansas?
Kansas, Kansas, do 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 do. Kansas, Kansas, la la.
Imagine that they would freak out in Minnesota. Mama Minnesota, Mama Minnesota, Mama Minnesota, Mama Minnesota, Mama Minnesota, out in Washington, D.C.
A-C-D-C, ba-ba-bop. 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 I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried at all.
You know it won't happen here. You're
no,
safe,
no, no.
You're
no,
safe,
no,
baby.
No.
You're just
no, no, no.
You better run, you
no, no, no. Ba-ba.
No,
no,
oh, we're gonna
no,
get
no,
a TV dinner
no,
and
no,
cook it up.
Cha.
Oh, get a TV dinner and cook it up. Cha. Cha. Oh, and it won't happen here.
I'm real good, real good, real good, real good.
No, 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 no.
But they would freak out in the suburbs. I remember the two. I remember the two. I remember the two. They had a swimming pool. I remember two two. I remember two two. They had a swimming pool. I remember two two. I remember two two. They had a swimming pool. And they thought it couldn't happen here.
Da 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 da.
Ma 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 ma.
You just got to town, and we've been very interested in your development.
Forget it!
It can't happen here.
Myself a thousand times to try and find
Okay, here we are. Roxanne, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yes, magnitude. The Fourlings are here. Hello, Fourlings.
That's F-O-U-R, Fourlings. F-O-U-R rather than F-O-R-C-E, Lings.
Yeah, the members of the Fourth Field.
Right. Now, here's the thing. What we were just listening to from the Freak It album started to be recorded in late 65, early 66. So we're kind of coming up to December 2015. That's 50 years ago. What we just heard was done 50 years ago.
Today I was going through the list of the 179 names of Zappa's influences.
Yeah. Right.
And, I recognize it. Wonderful way to start by freaking out everybody.
Or abuse
what
the Android meme support.
Mysterious, obscure Italian composer Francesco Zappa. We know your secret. Yeah.
That's right, we do know, and we're going to go into that. That's part of this book that Frank put out in 1984 called Them or Us. But back to this point, so on that, the voices we just heard doing Help, I'm a Rock, and that's after McLuhan is pointing out, and Barry Nevitt and McLuhan were quoted before, you know, in that little interval. It was a CBC program on right after McLuhan died in last day of 1980, and Barry Nevitt, his buddy, went on CBC, and that was Barrington Nevitt talking first, and then Culkin from his early days at Fordham, like 20 years before, no, only 15 years before, Culkin and Barry Nevitt were probably the closest to people. You know, Culkin and McLuhan's earlier career, Nevitt in the later part of the career, so they're explaining Marshall. And then I would come in and explain that they're pointing to the Everything's Disappeared for the Chemical Body. So then it's appropriate to play Help, I'm a Rock. You are reduced to rock status, mineral status, under angelic, discarnate, super angelic conditions. So it was appropriate to have that just before Frank spelled it out very humorously. But one of the voices on there is Carl Franzoni, who was the Vito's right-hand man in the Freaks, the Dancing Freaks. Remember, this freak out is an expression of what Frank saw in Vito and his anarchistic dancers, who were